Well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm back. It's time for the Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt Rogers joining us now, as he does on Mondays. Kurt, how are you, sir?
I am doing just fine. How are you liking this Sierra desert kind of weather we're having?
You know what? After the wet spring we had, it's not bad. I mean, you know, I know, as you living here my whole life, that this won't last for a very long time. So honestly, I'll take it. It's not that bad.
It's really not that bad.
The evenings have been super nice. I'll give it that.
Oh, yeah. Do like the evenings. I agree with you.
Yep. All right. So talk to us. I got two questions for you. One, I know you want to talk about rates. You know, they're low. They just went down. Why? And where do you feel they're going?
Okay. The rates went down because the federal government, about 6-8 months ago, they raised the cost of a loan under what they call the LLPA, Loan Level Pricing Adjustment, a half a point to cost. Well, they just took that away. So what the effect that that have is, since you don't have to pay that cost, the rates have come down. Now, many people think because inflation, last in June, it was 5.4%. Well, in most cases, that would scare people. They don't want it over 2 or 3. But the feds don't, they're not concerned about that. And for the main reason they're not concerned is because there are millions of people looking for a job. There's 9 million job openings, the highest number ever in the history of the United States. Well, if people go back to work, then they can start worrying about inflation. But right now, the economy's not clicking on all cylinders. So they've come out again and said, we're not raising rates. Hmm. Not going to happen.
Okay. And by the way, I think that you're spot on that, because, no, I don't think it's doing as well. In fact, we're going to talk to somebody at 5:30 right along those same lines and get her thoughts. When you saw what the Dow did today at 700-point loss, folks are still worried about, you know, worldwide COVID and things along those lines. All right, but I got a question that came in, and I meant to ask you this prior, so I apologize. But if you can answer this, great. If not, then, you know, we'll figure this out off air and how to get this particular person's question asked. But it's a great question, and this is about title locks, and there is now going on in some cases, Kurt, the hijacking of titles. What do you know about that, and how do folks avoid it?
I actually know a little bit about it. I did some investigation because another customer asked me, and title insurance, or title locks, is just insurance that nobody can steal your title. And in order to go through that, it's the amount of people that they try to do it to get it done is worse percentage than COVID.
Okay.
It's, in my opinion, it's not worth the money.
So your thought process is, it's not, and I got my own thoughts on this as well, and I agree with you, it's not worth the money. And number two, this is everybody else listening, if you have a mortgage, the chances of your title being hijacked are slim to none, Kurt.
Agreed.
You have to have the house free and clear to even have somebody hijack it anyways, right?
That's correct.
So, again, for those of you listening, if you have a mortgage, I don't really see this a big issue. If, though, your house is completely paid for and you don't plan on doing anything with Kurt on an asset manager or a reverse mortgage or anything along those lines, you know, Kurt, in that situation, you might want to look at title lock insurance if your house is completely paid for.
Completely, but again, there's so many little loopholes in that system when you look at it. It's sometimes like, you know, when you go out and you buy these warranties on cars.
Right.
You have to have so many things in place for some of those to work. Some of them are great.
Got it.
But some of them are not.
I see.
And if you're not paying attention, they're going to say, well, it doesn't include this or it doesn't include that.
Okay.
But no.
Good advice. Good advice, by the way. All right. We'll talk to you again this Thursday. And looking forward to it as always, and always gain great information from you, Kurt.
Thanks, John.
What's going on tomorrow on Haystack, by the way?
We're going to be talking about the asset manager and reverse mortgages and how they both work.
Perfect. Kurt, as always, thanks. I'll see you Thursday.
You bet.
All right, man. Take care. And, guys, let's do this. I got something I want to fit in here really quickly before we go to our next break. And that is this. And I just, this just popped up in one of my news feeds. And I should already know the answer to this. Are people really this dumb? And, of course, the answer is yes, they are. And maybe I'm not using the right words. Dumb maybe isn't the right word, but are they that ignorant? So Colorado rescue teams are responding to high numbers of dog-related calls out on the hiking trail. So up in Summit County, rescue teams are urging dog owners to think twice before taking their pets on difficult hikes. There have been a number of dog-related rescue calls this summer. And by the way, these rescue calls can be from the dog becoming exhausted, the dog having torn pads, and so on and so forth. I mean, people forget that, you know, while we have on, you know, trail boots, hiking boots, things along those lines, and we have the ability to traverse things, the average domesticated animal that does not have their paws ready for that type of encounter. In other words, they're walking around typically on grass or maybe even the sidewalk. If they're not on rugged terrain on a regular basis and they don't have their paws, you know, how would I say it, Charlie? It's like you and I with our feet getting them, you know, ready to go for, you know, the naked and afraid, where, you know, you're walking around barefoot and no clothes and so on. You know, you've got to, even those individuals have to condition their feet for that. And even then, they're not fully ready. Well, your dog, your animal isn't much different. And again, I can't believe I'm having to talk about this on air, but I guess there's enough folks maybe that have either moved into our area or they're traveling in, they're vacationing, they've brought their pet along. And by the way, I'm a pet lover. I love pets. I love dogs, cats, all of that. I love them, okay? I love pets in general. Enough so that, you know what, there's times where Fido doesn't need to be on the trail. In fact, Fido probably shouldn't be on the trail in some cases. Some of these extreme hikes that some of these individuals are going on, the dog doesn't need to be there. In fact, you're putting your dog in danger, because here's the thing. Your dog wants to be with you enough, they'll keep up to the point where they're almost dead. And no one wants to see a pet go through that. So people, please think twice about the dog or the pet that you're going to take along a trail with you, a hike with you. You know, I've talked about this prior to even the individuals that go out from the car at 2 in the afternoon with a windbreaker on in the high country this time of year and wonder why they can't make it back. Please be careful, okay? That's all I'm going to say. All right, we'll come right back. Affordable Interest Mortgage, as you just heard from Kurt a moment ago, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Gino's Auto Service is next, folks, and everything you need for your vehicle, they can take care of it. One-stop shopping, front to, you know, bumper to bumper, front to back service, you name it, they've got you handled. And don't forget about the AC special they're running right now. Just ask about it when you go or when you call. 303-794-6700. Don't forget, Gino's with a J, ginosautoservice.com.
Your vehicle's air conditioner should not put out a musty, mildew-like smell. Cabin filter contaminants can cause allergies and compromise airflow volume. Now is the time to take advantage of Gino's Auto Services Cabin Filter Special. For $189, Geno's will replace your cabin filter, clean the evaporator box, and restore efficiency and clean air in your vehicle. Geno's BG Evaporator Cleaning injects foam into your vehicle's evaporator box, which removes mold, pollen, mildew, dust, and bacteria. Since 1983, the team at Geno's has been serving customers all along the Front Range. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. They're AAA-approved, winner of the Napa Gold Certified Auto Award, and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Check out their excellent Google reviews. Stop in or visit them online at genosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Mish Schneider joining us as she does on almost a monthly basis now. Mish, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm great, John. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks for joining us. Talk to us about what happened on Wall Street today, though, at like 700-point drop.
Well, it wasn't completely that unexpected, considering a few things. Number one is money was going into the 30-year long bonds. When money goes into the bonds, generally that's a flight to safety. So that was kind of flashing that the bond traders, in this case, were getting it right. Number two was while NASDAQ was making new all-time highs along with the mega-cap stocks like Amazon and Apple and Google and Microsoft, the small-cap stocks, which are the 2,000 stocks traded within the Russell 2000 that are all represented within the United States, was going down. The transportation sector going down. Retail sector going down. Banking sector, even after great earnings last week, going down. Mm. So there were all these signs, and it was just really a matter of when people were finally going to believe that the market could actually correct. So the Delta variant might have been the headline, but this was a good whoosh.
Good point.
The Delta variant will, unless it gets out of control, really from what I'm hearing, it's not more deaths, and it's not necessarily more hospitalization.
No.
It's just cases.
Thank you for saying that. I follow it daily. I talk about it daily. I look at the data daily, and you are 1,000% correct. Now, I don't know exactly what it's doing in other countries. I don't typically look at that. I do look at what we're doing here in the U.S., and everything you just said is correct. What I have found that's interesting, and this is a complete side note, it may or may not, it probably will. Everything affects the markets, so I should say it will affect the markets. One thing we're learning, though, Mish, is some of these countries that are highly, highly vaccinated are having a larger problem with the Delta variant than those that aren't.
It goes back to, we hear so much information from so many different scientists and the CDC and the WHO and blah, blah, blah. It can make you nuts. Not speaking as a market person, but just speaking as a mom, I would say that we got vaccinated. Obviously, you want to have every advantage that you can possibly have. It was not that bad at all. And then, really, I'm still being a little bit careful. I wasn't, because Santa Fe is completely open.
Mm-hmm.
But I went food shopping. I put my mask on again. What's the big deal? I did it for a year and a half. I can do it a little bit longer. So I think you just have to have some good common sense. And unfortunately, we know that common sense is a short supply.
Well, and again, I am definitely one where, you know what, to each their own. My biggest issue is the mandates and so on. And again, I agree with you a moment ago, too. I don't feel like the Dow fell today because of the Delta variant. I think you're 100% correct. It's all of these other factors combined. They might be blaming it on that. It makes for a good headline, but that's not the reason.
Absolutely. And actually, my husband went to the chiropractor today, and now he's saying there's another new strain.
Yep.
I don't know if he was talking that vaccines may not work on.
Right.
So,
well,
I
and
mean,
you know, and
I
Mish, that's, put- you know what, and again, I'm not a doctor, but I've read the data and looked at enough things where, you know, it's just like any other form of virus, flu, things along those lines. Yes, they're going to mutate. They're going to change. But typically what happens is they become less deadly. You may end up contracting it. But you know what? We still are fighting colds and flu and allergies and everything else going on. And we just don't hear about those at all. That's the biggest difference.
Right, exactly. But getting back to the market, I think that really the biggest factor for the market going forward has nothing really to do with COVID.
Great.
I think the biggest factor that has the market really is going to be dealing with is the fact that we have not really enacted any policy as far as infrastructure, mm-hmm. which is really what I was hoping for to grow the economy. With the coming back, even now, if we get a second comeback, even if it's psychological, a second comeback, and people start buying some of those stocks that really got killed lately, airlines, hotels, murdered, cruise lines, murdered. Maybe you'll start to see some of that come back. But what I'm really concerned about is where's the real growth for the U.S. economy going to come from, number one. And number two is the labor force. It continues, even though we've gotten jobless claims down and more people have gone back to work. I think that the labor market, especially globally, is still very low. And that lends itself to inflation. So you have that possibility of stagflation, which is really my biggest. When I say concern, it's really what I'm trying to plan for. I think that once we see September, October come around, we will really start to hear that more and more. People are saying it, but I don't think people really understand what it means.
I got an and I haven't had a chance to look at this. I got an article sent to me right before I came on air today about hyperinflation and a listener asking, you know, what are my thoughts and so on. So I'll just ask you, you know, straight up, do you see? I mean, we've seen roughly we're 8 to 10% right now, I think, are the real numbers. Some may argue that, but I think if you look at everything combined, we're not far off of that. Will that level off and taper out, you know, or taper back down? It's hard to say. What are your thoughts on hyperinflation?
Well, I think that some of the areas that were represented in the statistics that came out with CPI and PPI are definitely transitory. Rental cars, used cars.
Right.
These are the kinds of things that I can't imagine are going to be the real inflationary factors. I'm looking at it from a completely different standpoint because I've studied what happened in the 70s, and it's the same kind of thing. It started with the oil embargo. Of course, we don't have that now, but
no.
We have COVID. There must be a replacement. And everybody was saying the same thing. There'll be no inflation. We're going to go into deflation. The economy is stagnated, yeah, yeah, yeah. But yet we wound up going there, and we have bigger factors now. We have a burgeoning debt, burgeoning money supply.
Mm-hmm.
The Federal Reserve is going to stay dovish. They have to stay dovish at this point because they're focused on the labor market. Who knows? We may even wind up with more stimulus along the way. And with the supply chain disruption, the labor force, production that was already slowed before COVID because of a glut of things with food and steel and copper and wood, I think all of this is just going to come back and haunt, and that's where we're going to see the hyperinflation. Now, I know we're having weather problems, and that's what's creating corn, wheat, soybeans going up, but there are other problems besides that, and even with weather problems, it still takes a while before you start to see new crops come in. So I'm really concerned that we are creating this hyperinflation environment that will not be a good situation for consumers, number one, not be a good situation for many, many businesses, number two, and could really create, like I say, this sort of stagnation in the market where we just go flat. Not necessarily crash, but go flat.
So folks that are listening, I know we're short on time here, but for those that are listening, what can they do now? It's not here yet, but to your point, it could be coming. And here's the thing, if we prepare for it and it doesn't, what are we out? Nothing. So what do people do to prepare for that, whether it comes or not?
Well, number one is if you have any variable rates on anything, any of your loans, whether it be homes, cars, et cetera, get them fixed. The rates are so ridiculously low right now. Even if they went a little bit lower, who cares? They're at historical lows. So that's one thing to do. Another thing is to really look at diversifying. If you're interested in investing more actively, I would be looking at some of the consumer staples because these are things people need no matter what. So you want to look at companies like Procter Gamble or Colgate or Clorox or Walmart, discount stores. Number two is kind of buy in bulk and put it away or do cooperative type of buying with some friends and share in it. And then in terms of investments besides the consumer staples, I would wait a little bit, but I still think that we're going to see a rally in gold, particularly. Just from a statistical standpoint, it's 20 times under where the Dow is in terms of inflation if you look at 1980. And that's not a sustainable situation. So I do believe that come August, it might be choppy. We're looking at September. We get a little bit more of a movement here in the metals particularly. That's where I would be looking at. And then one last thing is there is a bond called the Inflation Security Bond. It's TIPS, the Inflation Protection Security, excuse me. It's a bond. And it definitely is a good idea to look into it because what it does is it doesn't move up with yields. It moves up on inflation. So if inflation goes up, you're actually going to make money on that bond, and it changes every 6 months.
Okay. And what's that one called again?
TIP. It's the Inflation Protection Security.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Mish, I will check that out. We'll get some of that up on, not some, we'll get that up on our website later tonight as well. How do folks find you if they've got any other questions, things like that? I know you're on Twitter. How do they get a hold of you?
Market Minute on Twitter is one. Another way to do it is to go to our website, Market Gauge. You'll find our contact information there. And also you can talk to me on Instagram. That's Mish Schneider.
All right. Sounds great. Mish, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Have a great evening. And let's do this. Golden Eagle Financial is next. Speaking of those futures, where are we going? What are we doing? And so on. Somebody that's a better analysis or an analyzer of this, I should say, than I am, is Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith. Give him a call today, 303-744-1128, or find him online on our website, klzradio.com.
Give your retirement plan a stress test so that circumstances outside your control, like inflation, won't damage your standard of living. Chartered financial consultant and founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, gives you the peace of mind that your money will last. Let's say you need about $4,000 a month to live comfortably in retirement. Then suppose inflation averages 2.5%. In 15 years, you'll need $5,800 a month to maintain your purchasing power. Al will show you how to reinvest a portion of your nest egg into alternative tax-free accounts to create even more guaranteed income in retirement. Create a retirement plan that will hold up against the Golden Eagle stress test for a more comfortable retirement. Schedule a free no-obligation consultation now at klzradio.com/money. Confidence through planning. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
John Rush will save you money. You hesitate to hire a business coach because you think you can't afford it, but John earns his wages the first year through tax savings alone. He's not an accountant, but he's been in business for himself since 1986 and has learned the hard way by making mistakes and spending too much money on taxes instead of taking full advantage of the tax code. These aren't loopholes. These are legitimate savings built into the tax code that your accountant may not tell you about. For example, vehicles with a GVWR of 6,001 pounds can be completely written off as a business expense. That means you could purchase a truck or SUV for your business anytime from now to December 31st, 2021, and reduce your tax liability for the entire year. Those are dollars you won't have to pay taxes on now. That could mean the difference between taking your family on a vacation or not. Hiring John today will save you thousands. Email John at rushtoreason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Got 30 minutes of the show left. Anything you want to talk about, lines are open, 303-477-5600. I'm going to jump back real quick to the article I talked about earlier on the rescue teams and rescuing the pets on hikes. And got a message a moment ago that said, don't forget to add on to that, that in this hot weather, depending upon your pet, some of them may be able to go for a fairly decent walk. Others may not. Depends on the pet. Depends on what their ability is to handle the heat and so on. So again, just because you think Fido wants to go out for a long walk and it's 100 degrees out or 95 degrees, they may not. On top of that, don't forget, the pavement's hot. If you don't believe me, take your shoes off and walk on it. Your dog, cat, other animals have to walk on that same hot pavement. It's why, also, you would think common sense would set in, but it's why you don't typically see wild animals running around during the day, like you would typically see them in the fall, spring, and winter. Why? Because they know what I just said is also true. They live in it. Your pets, you know, while they're domesticated and they're fun, they're great to have around and so on, they don't necessarily know that that pavement is hot and they can burn their paws. So I know a lot of this sounds very elementary and it's the sorts of things that, you know, we should not have to be reminded of. But you know what? We do. One last thing. Don't leave your pet in a hot car. I don't care how much you crack the windows. You guys know this, and again, I'm typically preaching to the choir, but there may be folks even traveling through that need a reminder of this that may have just tuned into us even as they're driving through our state. There's, by the way, lots and lots of out-of-state plates driving around right now. So for those of you that maybe have just picked up our program, one thing I need to remind you, that temperature inside the car can rise rapidly. Here in Colorado, with our elevation, it's true, I know in other places even outside of Colorado, but here in Colorado with our UV and our elevation and so on, we can take a 70, 75 degree day where it seems fairly cool. Shut your car all up and tell me that it's not 100 to 110 degrees inside the car in a matter of minutes. That's how hot it gets, folks. I don't think folks really understand that even when the windows and things are cracked, cars are fairly sealed today. Not fairly, they're very sealed today. I've talked about how, you know, it's the reason why you see cars float in, you know, high water situations. It's because they're like a bathtub. They're fairly sealed up. Well, because they're so sealed up, we have no airflow in the vehicle unless windows are completely rolled down. And even then, it's extremely hot. So again, be careful. Watch what's going on. You know, we hear about even, you know, children being left in the car and things like that happening. And I realize things get forgotten and so on. But, you know, be aware. Don't take those pets on long hikes unless they're up to it. Don't even take them on a long walk on the pavement when it's super hot out unless they're up to it. And please, last but not least, don't leave them in a hot car. It's the best way to lose, you know, your family member, which in a lot of cases your pet is. It's just not a good situation. So be careful with that. All right, moving along. I had this in my notes for today, and it's a question that I'll throw out to all of you listening. Should Colorado students wear masks this fall? I think you all know my answer to this, but this is being debated, believe it or not, as we speak. School officials in many communities are facing competing pressures between public health guidance, parents, they want a more normal school year for their kids, and other parents who want to see COVID precautions remain in place. So in defense of these school officials, they're hearing it from three sides. Parents that want things to be normal, which I'm one of those, I'm on their side. Parents that want to make sure everybody's being protected and still wearing masks. And then, of course, on top of that, public health guidance that's saying the same thing. Bottom line, we all know from the data, these students aren't going to pass COVID around. So the reality is I'm one that says, no, they should not be wearing masks. Craig in Wheat Ridge, you're up, sir.
Hey, John. On this topic of the dogs, I heard that story today about Summit County.
Yes.
Search and Rescue has had to bail
yep.
a bunch of pet owners and their dogs off the mountains. Okay,
yes.
If you've ever hiked one of the 14ers, you know, it's fine when you're on the dirt, but you start getting on the granite, the talus, the granite boulders, those have razor sharp
yep.
edges.
Yep.
Your dog does not have shoes to protect
nope.
its feet.
They do not. Good point.
Also, the overheating of the dogs. I see it all the time.
Yeah.
I get up early. I walk my dogs early. I don't wait till the heat of the day. I've actually rolled up on people in my vehicle, seeing people walking their dogs on the hot asphalt saying, you know, your dog is not enjoying that. That's burning his paw.
Yeah, they're only doing it because they want to be with you, not because they enjoy it.
And when their tongue is hanging out 16 inches, it's an indicator of how overheated
yep.
they are.
Yep.
And
great point.
And dogs unlike us, we can shed clothing to
yeah.
compensate for the heat. We can add clothing to compensate for the cold. I have dogs that have thick coats. Unless I shave them down to the skin, I have to keep that in mind.
Yep.
They are wearing their winter coats even in the summer.
Great point.
Certain breeds you just don't groom
yep.
down to the skin.
Great point.
So,
and you know what? And as I said earlier, Craig, it's a shame that, I have to even be talking about this, and I think most of our listeners are pretty smart and bright and probably get this. But, you know, we've got all sorts of people that listen from all different walks of life, some even that are just traveling through our state, you know, and jumping back to your original conversation of, you know, the and this for all of you that are traveling in or maybe are transplants into Colorado, I don't think most folks understand, Craig, that we have a very sharp, you know, it's the quartz and the other thing that's inside of the rocks that we have here in the Rocky Mountains that make those rocks very sharp for pets especially.
Well, you know, your dog is not a lot different than you are. Okay, if you have a dog, you know his fitness level. He's used to going for 3-4 miles a day. You know he's capable. Again.
Well, I want to comment on that real quick, Craig. Providing he's doing that off the grass and off the sidewalk, even if he's doing that 3 or 4 miles a day on pavement or a pebble trail or something along those lines, his feet still aren't ready to go up to the Rocky Mountains.
No. I mean, you have to, again.
They have to be conditioned.
Like you as a human, you don't, let's say you walk a couple blocks a day. You don't go sign up for a half marathon a week
later.
Yes,
thank you.
You're not conditioned for it. Your dog is very similar. He needs to be conditioned. You have to know that he's up to the task, and you also have to know your trail. These trail, there is enough information online, no matter what 14er, 13er,
yep.
Open space
Great
trail.
Point.
They tell you the conditions of the trail, whether it's mostly dirt, whether it's mostly rock, the elevation gain, and you know, I've seen people climbing 14ers that, you know, the rule of thumb is you get started early, maybe even before dawn.
Right.
If you're really going to attempt to summit one, you're off the peak by no later than noon. You're coming down, it might be 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock, you're coming down and people are just starting their way up.
Yep.
They don't have adequate water, they don't have adequate clothing, they just think it's just going to be a walk in the park, and they're the very people that when the weather moves in and the lightning, I mean, there's no place for shelter on the peaks.
Nope.
And that goes for your dog as well. I mean,
I've seen guys, Craig, you know, people, I should say, guys and gals both, you know, head out on those types of hikes or even something that maybe even isn't even that strenuous and do it with a, you know, small, you know, bottle of water they just got down at the gas station. They're going to go hike up and do, you know, even if it's not a 14er, they're going to do a 3 or 4 mile hike with that little dinky bit of water.
Yeah, recipe for disaster.
Well, and the other thing people forget, too, and this is for a reminder for all of you that maybe are traveling through and maybe listening to us for the first time, and even some of you transplants. As you acclimate here, people that come from a low elevation to a high elevation, Craig, one of the first things they tell you is you have to hydrate. So where you and I, who are used to this, Charlie, others, where we could go out and do a 3 or 4 mile hike and drink, you know, maybe a liter of water, the reality is somebody else coming from a low elevation needs 2 liters, not one.
Well, and then there's the altitude factor.
That's right.
I've seen people slumped over partway up a trail, holding their head. They've got a severe headache.
Yep, they're not used
to it. They're showing all the signs of altitude sickness. They're nauseous. I always tell them your best bet is to turn the other direction. Forget it.
Go down.
Go back down to your vehicle. Once you get down from elevation, you get rehydrated, you'll be fine.
That's right.
But don't, you know, it's just like that movie I described to you the other day. There's certain rules that you must adhere to when you're climbing in at high altitude. And when you start to break those rules one by one, every one of those is going to catch you in the backside.
No, you know what? You bring up a great point, and it's something that, honestly, we don't talk much about here. I guess probably because being a Colorado native, and I don't think much about the altitude. I mean, I go down to sea level, come back. I've lived here my entire life. I mean, I think my lungs, for the most part, Craig, are very much used to living it at a high elevation. And frankly, the elevation just doesn't bother me. I don't get sick. I don't get headaches. But I've grown up here. I've lived here my entire life. It's different for somebody like me than somebody that just moved here 6 months ago. Even then, I don't think they're totally acclimated.
Well, even in years past, living at the altitude of Denver and going up and doing the season's first 14er.
Agree.
And doing a rapid ascent and a rapid descent, you get back to your car and I came back with one of the worst headaches I've ever had. And it was just that rapid change in altitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even though I was, you know, a native and you know, from this altitude, doing that fast altitude change, it can give you a severe headache.
Oh, it sure can. I mean, you're right. Even for those of us that Arnett is. And again, you know, typically, and I think you are probably the exception that day, typically we know how to handle that. We know how quickly we need to walk, how to adjust, how much water to drink, and so on, because we're used to it and we've lived here. But I'm here to tell you, as you can tell from some of these articles we've been reading, there are a ton. And we see it all the time, Craig. You see it from the license plates, even the folks that you know in your neighborhood and so on, the people that have moved in from other areas. They don't know these basic rules, and we probably should talk about them more.
Well, then on the vehicle side of it, and it's amusing, is these trail descriptions tell you what type of vehicle is going to be needed to get to the trailhead.
Good point.
I've seen people in passenger cars trying to hop over boulders, and how's their oil pan and their
I don't know. Survive? I've seen minivans in places, Craig, where I'm like, how in the world did that thing end up here? I'm serious. I mean, I look at it and you think, wait a minute, what something's out of place here. That should not be here. And then you wonder, okay, they got here, but you know, going down's a whole different ball game. How are they going to get back down? They may have made it up, and now they got to go back down.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the reality to all that. Search and rescue, and I've talked about it even on Drive Radio. You know, search and rescue has been up. They're getting people bailed out of areas they shouldn't even be in. You know, now we're on a whole nother level outside of people and pets and so on, Craig, and that's the vehicles that shouldn't even be where they're at in the first place. So, again, those of you that have moved into our area, everything Craig is saying is correct. Do your research on the front side. The last thing you want to do is get someplace and have to be bailed out. That's no fun for anyone.
Now, does not search and rescue charge these people when
no,
they have to go up there?
Unfortunately, they do not. They typically run off of donations and, you know, folks like us to try to help out, and there's volunteers and so on. And no, frankly, though, Craig, I think it's a great topic, and I think they should be.
Well, we joined up for the Colorado Mountain Club, and that gave you that ability that should, worst-case scenario, you have to be, you know, bailed off of a mountain. Let's say you fall, get hurt, and you wouldn't be charged for it. And I thought the parties that get, especially when a helicopter may be involved, I thought they were assessed a pretty hefty fee for that.
Well, and you could be right. Everything I've read, a few articles that I've read here recently, even on air, haven't talked about anybody being charged. But, you know, they need to be, and I hope that you're correct. They should be.
Yeah, just, again, it's all that research that needs to be done is right there.
Yeah.
Free for the reading.
Agree.
If you just don't want to do something stupid. And again, the dog thing just drives me crazy when I see people locking the dogs in the heat. It's like, you know, they will do anything to make you happy.
Yep.
And at the risk of their own demise.
Yeah, two things that really drive me nuts about pets, that being one of them. The other one is people that put their pet on their lap driving a car with an airbag. That thing has any kind of an accident, the dog's dead because the airbag will literally kill them immediately, and nobody thinks twice about that. And these are talking, you know, I'm talking lap pets because typically it's not a big dog that's, you know, on your lap, Craig, but that's the other one that really drives me nuts because they claim to really love their pet, yet they're putting him in front of the steering wheel on their lap as they're driving. One false move and that dog or cat, whatever it happens to be, you know, is dead. That one drives me nuts. And when they leave him in a hot vehicle is the other one for me.
Well, I saw the guy with the dog on the lap this morning. It's funny you should say that. I saw one this morning.
I get it. I mean, they think they're loving their animal, but if there were an accident, Craig, that dog's dead. And I'm not exaggerating. The dog's dead. They're done.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets crushed between you and the steering wheel.
You're done. Yep. I mean, typically the dog's neck will get snapped. There's things like that happen, and it's just and Lone Tree Vet, who's a great sponsor of mine on Drive Radio, by the way, will tell you everything I just said is exactly the case. They see it all the time. And they will tell you the only way to really properly transport a pet is in a crate that's tied down in the back of the vehicle. So even if there's a bad accident, everything inside the crate is safe.
Or in the back seat with these restraints.
Or there's exactly one or the other. One or the other. Yep, you're correct.
Not in the front seat.
Nope, you should not put it. Nope. I mean, they tell you not to put a kid in the front seat. Why would you put your pet there, Craig?
Well, some people's pets are their kids, so you'd think they would think that way.
You would think they would know. Craig, as always, I enjoy it. It's always a great conversation. Thanks for calling. I do appreciate it very much. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I got a couple other things I want to cover with y'all. And Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next, folks. Don't forget, Cooper Tires are at cost. And we just got them talking about vehicles and pets and so on. They can help with everything that we just mentioned, by the way. Full bumper-to-bumper service. And again, don't forget to go to klzradio.com, receive those free wiper blades, just fill out the form, or you can pick a tire rotation as well. But by the way, the wiper blades are the better deal. KLZradio.com. Again, look for Extreme, 303-841-1071.
Thanks for restoring my faith in humanity. No more hopping from one mechanic to another trying to find a solution for your vehicle's persistent issue. Extreme Auto Repair has a reputation for fixing problems quickly. You bring your Nissan to the dealer because of a rattling noise. They charge you $4,000. You still hear the noise. You bring the same vehicle to Extreme Auto Repair in Parker, where Sean and his team quickly discover a broken bolt in the subframe, a known Nissan failure they have seen many times before. Real stories like this one earn Extreme Auto Repair customers for life. As one woman exclaims in a recent 5-star review, "Thanks for restoring my faith in humanity." The factory-trained technicians at Extreme Auto Repair stay up to date with the manufacturer data for your vehicle's specific make and model for quick, experienced problem solving. KLZradio.com/extreme.
All right, Flesh and Beck is next. Kevin Flesh, and I talked about last week about my jury duty experience and so on. And it's, again, just a reminder that having a really great lawyer representative there to help you, knowing the system, know what goes on in court. I mean, I will tell you just as a side note that being in court for jury duty last week, I'm not sure either side was prepared for the particular court battle that was going to ensue. And I mean that sincerely. I don't think the prosecutor or the defense really had the, well, I can tell you right now, neither one of them had the experience Kevin Flesh has, because I know Kevin and I know how he speaks, and everything about it with Kevin is the way it's supposed to be. So if you need representation, give Kevin a call today. 303-806-8886.
Some skills you only develop through practice. In October of this year, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law celebrates 25 years defending both civil and criminal cases. He has earned the tagline, "Trial Tested, Trial Ready." In civil cases, such as personal injury, your attorney has the burden of proof to persuade a jury that you deserve a certain sum of money in return for your pain and suffering. However, because only a small percentage of personal injury cases go to trial, most personal injury attorneys do not spend much time in the courtroom over the course of their careers. Kevin Flesh stands apart from the rest because he represents both criminal and civil cases. After an estimated couple hundred jury trials, Kevin has learned how a jury reacts to evidence. He knows how to gauge how much money a jury will likely award in your case. Trial tested, trial ready for 25 years. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886.
You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. All right, I want to read something, too. I was going to read it earlier once we were done with Jarrett Stedman. We just got involved in numerous other things. So I've got enough time now where I feel like I can squeeze this in. It won't take me very long. And there's actually a Facebook Facebook account for this individual person. So this is a real person. This isn't some, you know, story that you see floating around the internet that you can't verify and determine who's who and so on. And I believe this, by the way, because it totally makes sense. And we had a caller earlier talk about what just happened to their friends, his friends, I should say, just within the last week and, you know, being killed in Cuba. So this is from Annette Placacia, I think I'm saying that right, Ruiz. And I'm sure I'm butchering the middle name there. On New Year's Eve 1959, my parents' in-laws were celebrating at a supper club in Havana, dancing into the New Year's with hopes of happiness and prosperity. Just after midnight, the music stopped and the lights turned on. The man who got on stage told the crowd that Batista had fled Cuba. Fidel Castro's army had won and was making its way into the city. Time for everyone to go home, get off the streets, it wasn't safe. As they left, they saw the first signs of the revolution. Parking meters were smashed into pieces and shots were being fired in the distance in celebration of what was coming. The thing is, like most chaotic moments in history, nobody really knew what was coming. In a few months' time, Castro would force everyone into the city square. By force, I mean his troops went door to door, making sure that all were in attendance. If you weren't, you were taken to jail. All of this was to announce that Cuba would now have a new currency and whatever money you had to date, whether you had worked for it your whole life or inherited it from your parents who spent their lives working for it, you would now only be allowed to keep $200 worth of it. That's it. The rest went to the Cuban government. Fancy that. They were liberating the Cuban people from prosperity, independence, and freedom because now they would be dependent on the government for everything. By the way, young people, be listening to this, please, and share it with your other friends that are young and think communism and socialism is great. The next day, my father-in-law went to work with his brother, as he did every day in his father's meatpacking factory. When they arrived, they walked in to see soldiers throughout the factory. The one in charge approached my father-in-law and his brother and told them that the factory was now property of the state and that they could go back home because they had no more right to it. As they turned to go, the soldier stopped them once more and asked how they got there. When my father-in-law told him that they had driven their cars, the soldier said those cars also belonged to the state, so they could hand over the keys and walk home. It was the beginning of the end for my father-in-law, who left Cuba a year later. His brother never made it out. He committed suicide many years later, and my father-in-law had to hear about it from friends and family, friends of the family. My in-laws came to the U.S. with nothing. Everything they owned and worked for was left behind. My father-in-law was allowed to take a couple of pair of pants, two shirts, one belt, and a pair of shoes. That's it. This is what they came here with to start a new life. And they were the lucky ones. My father-in-law passed away a few years ago. He never got the chance to go back to his beloved island to see the family and friends he so loved, to see his home where he grew up and started his life and family with. But most importantly, he never got the opportunity to see Cuba free. This is just part of the story and one of so many other stories for so many other Cuban families. I thank God every day that my husband, myself, and our children are born here. But I will never forget where our family came from and what they went through. We stand with the Cuban people against years of tyranny and dictatorship. We want our voices to be heard because theirs were and are silenced. And again, folks, those of you that have young people especially, take these things, give them to them, make them read them, make them pass them around to their friends. We have, for some odd reason, forgotten that these things existed. We forgot to teach our young people that these things exist. And so now we live in a day and age, I should say, where our young people think communism is some great thing and that it's something to be celebrated. And it's nothing to celebrate. What I just read you, case in point. I'll lead into this. Franktown Firearms is next. One of the first things that a country does, that a government does, I should say, when it wants to take over a country, is take the guns away. Why? Because they know a disarmed populace is easy to control. I firmly believe one of the reasons why we still have the freedoms in this country that we have is because we're an armed populace. And the other side knows that. What keeps our First Amendment in check is the Second Amendment. In fact, what keeps everything in check is the Second Amendment. So exercise that, if you would, please. And get your young people learning about guns, how to handle them, how to use them, how to be safe, what they do, and so on. And all of that is being done at Franktown Firearms. They are taking very young people and teaching them with BB guns, pellet guns, and so on, how to handle a firearm. It's really simple and easy. It's not a big deal. Some of us have grown up around guns our entire life. It's second nature to us. A lot haven't. If your kids haven't, teach them at Franktown Firearms. Find them at klzradio.com, 720-770-7777.
Teach your children responsibility around guns in a safe, welcoming environment. At Franktown Firearms, everyone shares a common goal: to keep on learning. Responsibility requires practice, so head instructor Karen Murray considers herself a lifelong student as well as a teacher. Karen created her own proprietary training courses so people of all ages may develop confidence with firearms. Now, for the first time, only at Franktown Firearms, children as young as 5 years old may learn to keep themselves and others safe in homes with guns. Starting with airsoft and BBs, you and your children will develop a healthy respect for firearms together. Sign up for one of Karen's classes as a family at klzradio.com/franktown. First responders, military veterans, and range members receive discounts in the shop. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. A couple of text messages that came in, by the way. One said, hey, you know, you're talking about all these transplants and so on. You know what? Tell your friends and so on and folks that you know that have moved here to, this is not my words, but someone else. Remind your listeners, all these people moving into the state, and refer them to the station and show for good common sense. By the way, thank you very much for that text message. I appreciate that very much. Somebody else said that, hey, we were talking about the high country and folks that get trapped and so on. Somebody said, I got caught in a thunderstorm up in Vail. The temperature dropped 30 degrees in 15 minutes. I went right out and bought emergency blankets. I had plenty of layers, but you just never know. Folks, those are real examples of those of you listening, texting back in, which, by the way, I appreciate very much. We have a really fantastic listening audience. A lot of you, you get it. You understand. You know everything we're talking about daily. You feed a lot of information to me, which I then use, and I'm ever so thankful for it. Also, though, I know there's a lot of folks out there listening that don't have all of that common sense, and they don't have all of the abilities you have. We've got to continually teach and train and instruct and get the word out, which is what we do daily. So thanks for listening, folks. I do appreciate it very much. If you missed the first hour, please catch it next. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.